Good morning. I am Barbara Opaschal, and I'm very pleased to be here today. First of all, I would like to deliver greetings from the mayor of Erlauf and the community council, who unfortunately could not join me today, but I will do my best to represent them as good as I can. This is the content of my presentation about Erlauf as a community, the culture of remembrance they have built up, their solution, and their next projects in terms of accessibility. What I would like to point out is that on the right-hand upper corner, just below the logo, you find a speech bubble, and that bubble will contain a link to the entire text of each slide, plus some additional information given verbally today, and the audio description of the pictures, so that later when you look at the presentation or check the presentation, you have a choice of just listening to it. What is Erlauf? Erlauf is a very small village, actually, in Austria, in Lower Austria, basically halfway between Vienna and Linz. They have only 1,200 inhabitants, and this means that such a small village has also very small budgets when it comes to any kind of investment, whether it's infrastructure, housing, or accessibility. And Erlauf, as I guess hardly anybody will know, because there is only one event that really made Erlauf known, and on that event, they have built up a sustainable culture of remembrance I want to share with you now. The famous event actually was a handshake. And as the picture shows, two smiling generals who did that handshake on the 8th of May, 1945. And with that handshake, they agreed on the final ceasefire of World War II. So with that handshake, the war actually ended. And the US General Stanley Reinhardt and the Soviet General Dmitry Trichkin celebrated this event at the now Municipality Hall of Erlauf with a lot of whiskey, a lot of vodka, and Veltliner. Veltliner is the local wine. So this is what makes Erlauf remarkable. Based on that, the community has decided to encourage the federal authorities to help them fund a museum that deals not just with that event, but also with the fate of the community, especially the Jewish community, the labor camps in the vicinity during the Nazi regime. And they later added in the main square a monument, an art installation done by Soviet and US artists, and annual peace days. So what did they do in terms of accessibility? Because they were very eager to make this information available to as many people as possible. So first thing was to make the museum accessible for people with mobility issues, as well as the municipality building and important community roads. Now, next, they were thinking of what can we do for people with visual impairments. We cannot afford traffic lights with tones because we don't have any traffic lights at all in the village. So they decided to go for audio information and supply also texts in easy language, which they then eventually did, providing 3 hours of audio information in two languages as a starting point. And the technology they used is speech code, with NFC in this case. Why did they go for speech code? Because it's very affordable also for a small community. They do not need to invest in additional infrastructure such as electricity, batteries, devices, Wi-Fi, because speech code can work fully offline. In other words, the entire audio content is stored in the NFC tag. So once the user has downloaded the app, which is free of charge, he doesn't need any internet connection. And that also protects the community from any data privacy issues. Because as you know, we have in Europe now a very strict data privacy regulation. And that is taken care of. Yes, and obviously it works with NFC very quickly, the data transmission, so that they can it can also be used by bus groups, which is a major segment of their visitors. I will now just briefly show you how it works. This is all you need. It's a little sign with the different languages in a speech bubble and an NFC tag on the back. The new signs they will use will have a little tactile button so that also blind users can find it. But basically, all you need to do is have an NFC-enabled smartphone, and then you move it, you get a beep, and immediately the speech output starts. You can also read, change the font size, etc. You can even make the speed of voice faster, and you can also use it with talkback or voiceover. Blind users, as soon as VoiceOver is activated, will not see the text on the screen. They will have instead a navigation interface that is compatible with VoiceOver. That is how it works, very easy to use. Another thing that was important for Airlauf was that they can produce as much content as they like, at as many info points as they like, and they can basically produce the content themselves online, then store it on the NFC tag, have the sign produced, and they are set. And the info points are also very cost effective. You probably saw it's a wooden pole painted, the sign attached in a height where also people in a wheelchair can reach it, and they are done with it. Another good thing is that once you scan such an NFC tag, the content remains stored in the app, and each of these tag contents just takes 1 to 10 kilobyte of storage, so it's no problem. It's not gonna fill up your device's storage at all. And as I said, in terms of costs, if you can produce the content yourself, Airlauf is paying an annual fee of €950, and that's all it costs them, plus the couple of NFC tags. Because it was very important for us as a company to provide a solution that is really also accessible for all, for any small museum, for any small community, and additionally any, let's say, NGO organization, which is non-profit and for the common good, can use speech code fully free of charge. The next project Airlauf therefore plans is to add additional audio info points to put audio information on all the old documents in the museum, because there are some documents that are written, you know, from the 1940s in the current script, which nowadays hardly anybody can read, no matter whether he can see well or not. So that is one project they want to do. They want to add proper audio description to the content, as well as texts in easy language, which can all be done very easily because there is space per tag for 30 minutes of speech output, which equals about 5 pages A4. So you can have a chapter with regular information, you can have a chapter with audio description, and you can have a chapter with easy language, and another chapter with details for friends of architecture or whatever you would like to do, all at the same costs. And additionally, what they want to do is to put speech links like the one on top to their website, that the content on the website is available in audio format as well. And then whenever they now produce new brochures, they will add a speech code, which is the little colored code you see on the right-hand bottom. That also contains the entire content in the code. So this code can be added to any print that is going to run a high number of copies, and then people can, if they prefer listening to reading, they can do so by scanning the code. Now I'm sure you will ask, how does a blind person find the code? And to cater for that, we have developed what we call the scan guidance, which as soon as you switch on the device, which my problem is that the fingerprinter doesn't, yeah. And then you have, let's say, on a document you have a code, and as soon as you come in the vicinity, it gives you verbal or tonal instructions on how to move, hold your device in order to scan the code. So, in other words, Erlauf, despite having a small budget, despite having few human resources, is very eager to improve accessibility, and what they now need is to really market these offers to the community, to tour operators, etc., and that will be the next plans, where I will obviously support them like I do now by being here and letting you all know what they have done. Thank you.